Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I suspect that the gospel lesson from today is familiar to you. This is often referred to as the widow's mite or the widow's mites because that was what the King James Version, how the King James Version referred to it. But they were two small coins, basically. And the bottom line is that the total amount of her offering, of this widow's offering, was about 1/64th of a denarius. A denarius was about a day's wages for a laborer. So a 1/64th of a day's wages, that was what she offered. It's just a tiny amount. I mean, just a very tiny amount. And yet, she gave it all. Everything. Now, is this a lesson in stewardship of your finances? This is often the way that it is interpreted, and then that's the way that it is preached on. The poor widow shines for all posterity as an example of pious giving. She gave everything. After all, she did give everything that she had. And perhaps the church should press this example into service when we have Stewardship Sunday. By the way, it's nothing against Stewardship Sunday. We've never had one here, and it's not likely to happen. But nevertheless, Stewardship Sunday is a thing that's done sometimes toward the end of the year as you make pledges and stuff, which we also have not done here. But let's just explore that concept, okay? Let's just say that this is a lesson in financial stewardship. So the text tells us that there were many rich people who put in large sums. So as Jesus watched, these rich people are coming in and making their offering. And that was not an uncommon practice for the offering to be done in a conspicuous way. There were actually even some people who would cheer as large offerings were made. So they were watching and cheering. So Jesus is there taking notice, and he sees these large offerings made. These are the offerings that would usually command respect, that people would take notice of. Oh, wow, look how much they gave. They're gifts that would move the needle, right? They had a big building program going in that day. They were building the temple complex up. It was like multiple decades of construction that Herod's temple was being constructed. And it was massive. It was a massive place. And it takes money to operate that. So, you know, these would move the needle with the big capital campaign, the building campaign. But then meanwhile, here comes this poor widow. She puts in two small copper coins, which make a penny. And this is the gift that nobody would take notice of. It's a gift that makes essentially no difference whatsoever. It's today, you know, couple pennies or whatever, a couple dollars, whatever. It's just a small amount. Insignificant, barely detectable, would have virtually no impact on the affairs of the temple. But the thing that's significant about the gift is significant enough that Jesus does take note of it. And then he drew the attention, it drew his attention, and then he drew his disciples to himself and said, "Truly I say to you, this poor widow has put in more than all those who are contributing to the offering box, for they all contributed out of their abundance. But she, out of her poverty, has put in everything that she had, all she had to live on." So Jesus commended her gift because she gave it all. Now, if the object lesson of this story is financial stewardship, then you must ask yourselves, how do I compare to this widow? How do I measure up? Can you measure up to her generosity? Have you given all that you have? Everything that you can, possibly every bit, every last penny? Maybe you've held something back. Better just hold this little bit back. Now, any honest self-assessment would reveal that your giving is lacking, if this is how we're going to measure it. And it's lacking no matter how generous you are, because she gave everything. So no matter how generous you are, unless you gave everything. It's always possible to give a little bit more. Now, if you measure your performance according to God's law, then you're going to come up short. And that's nothing new. We know that. But her gift is commended. But again, as I say, is financial stewardship really the point? Maybe there's another different way to look at this. You could think about it this way. After the widow left, okay, she put in her two coins and then she left. You think she starved to death? And after all, those coins were all she had to live on. That's the words. Compare this to the widow of Zarephath. She said to Elijah, that widow said, "As the Lord your God lives, I have nothing, only a handful of flour in a jar and a little oil in a jug. And now I am gathering a couple of sticks that I may go in and prepare it for myself and my son, that we may eat and die." So the widow of Zarephath said that she didn't have enough to live on. She only had enough to die on. Nevertheless, Elijah asked her to be fed and called on her to trust the word of God. Elijah spoke God's word to her and said, "Believe this word and bring me something to eat and then feed yourself." And the word of God was that the jar of flour would not be spent, the jug of oil would not be empty until the day that the Lord sends rain upon the earth. Now Psalm 146 reinforced, which we read this, chanted this morning, reinforces the wisdom of placing your trust in God. "Blessed is he whose help is the God of Jacob, who made heaven and earth, who keeps faith forever, who executes justice for the oppressed, who gives food to the hungry." And this psalm also demands that we put not your trust in princes. See, the proper focus of your trust is not princes, it's not your worldly possessions, but it's God Almighty. In fact, you are held every moment, this very moment, in fact, you are held in God's hands, whether you recognize it or not, whether you acknowledge it or not. Every breath you take is a gift from God. Psalm 90 says, "Teach us to number our days that we may get a heart of wisdom." And what that's saying is that, yes, it is wisdom to see that you are held in God's hands, that your days are numbered. Everyone's days are numbered. You can't extend your life an instant apart from God's will. Now, this line of thinking, looking at it this way, of placing trust, and that the object lesson is the woman's trust that she placed in Jesus. That's why she gave everything. If we take that line, then that expands the discussion of stewardship far beyond mere financial stewardship or giving to the church. Stewardship is far more than how much you give or what percentage you give. It involves a life of faith in which you put your trust in God, your Father, to sustain your life. That's where your trust is. God is the one who sustains me, not my 401k. God. Stewardship means responsibility. It means using wisdom to receive and apply the gifts of God for the benefit of your neighbor. Now, if you gave everything you had to the church and wound up unable to provide for your children, that would not be good stewardship, would it? You know, interestingly, if you look, some of the artist's depictions of the widow, the widow's offering, show her with a child. They show it, you know, some pictures show an elderly woman making an offering of two mites. Some pictures show a young woman with a child making an offering of two mites. Scripture, the text doesn't really tell us what her age was. We just know that she was poor. But that wouldn't be good stewardship. But then, wait a minute. If giving everything away is not good stewardship, then why did Jesus commend the widow's offering? Isn't that a fair question? But maybe that gets us back to the point I asked earlier. Is this about financial stewardship at all? I mean, the lesson is there. You can't deny it. You can't unsee it, that there's a lesson there that is about stewardship and how our trust is in God and not in our wealth or our money or any of that. And there's also a lesson that God doesn't care about a penny or $1 million. It doesn't matter. He doesn't need money in that sense. He doesn't need the money. The church doesn't need money in that sense either. The church will have all that it needs. That's why here we've never done pledges, and we don't do, and we haven't done a stewardship Sunday or anything like that. I mean, life is about stewardship beyond just finances. It's about how you spend your time and what you do and where you put your trust. Ultimately, where you put your trust is going to cause everything else to shake out the way it needs to shake out, according to God's will. But there is another way to look at this. Just like the widow of Zarephath, this widow did not have enough to live on. She had enough to die on, because a 64th of a day's wages is not enough for a person to live. She had enough to die on. So whether your offering is big or small is of little interest to God. What is important to God is your trust in Him. God tells us that He has claimed you as a beloved child in holy baptism. Do you trust Him? God feeds you with word. God feeds you with His holy word. Just like Elijah fed the woman with the word of God first, He feeds you with His word. Do you trust Him? God feeds you with this sacrament, giving you His body and blood shed for you for the forgiveness of your sins. Do you trust Him? God knows and numbers every hair on your head, no matter how many or how few or how long or how short. Do you trust Him? And do you trust Him for your good? Your offering to God really is no more than this widow. Your offering to God consists primarily of sin. We bring sin and lay it at the altar of God. We bring enough sin to die on, just like these widows had enough to die on. And yet, will you trust Him? Will you trust Him that when you bring this offering of sin and lay it before God, that He will push that away and say, for the sake of Jesus Christ and His shed blood, your sins are put away. You are forgiven. I give you life, not life that comes from a morsel of bread, but life that comes from God, our Maker, our Creator, the Heavenly Father, eternal life, life that cannot be taken away by famine or by sickness or by disease. That's the lesson of trust that this is teaching us and showing us. The point of the lesson is that your offering is not sufficient, whatever it is, but Christ's is. Christ's offering is sufficient. Shed blood of Christ is the offering that is necessary for your redemption, for forgiveness of your sins. It's been offered to you, and it's been offered to the whole world. Thanks be to God. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.